Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the sixth canto, chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritasura, text 45. Ansaya dara nilayaya niriksakaya snaya mrista yasase nirupakramaya satsam grahaya bhavapanta nidyasramapta ante parista gataye haraye namaste. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees, because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success. Therefore, the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer you our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Purport. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna, for although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of paritaranayu sadhanam vinasya saduskritam, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees, and therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desire of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the Supreme Person, above even Vishnu and Narayan, although there is no difference between these different forms of the Lord, as explained in Brahma Samhita 5.46, Dipachirivi dasantram abhyupetya, dipayate vivitahinu samana dharma, yastadrigivi hicha Vishnu tayo vibhati, govindam adipurisham tamaham bhajami. Krishna expends himself as Vishnu, the way, a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word Mrista Yasase is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotee from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and whose only source of relief is the Lord known as Akinchana, as expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti. The Lord is Akinchana Vitta, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from the bondage of conditional life are elevated to the spiritual world, where they achieve five kinds of liberation: Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Sarasti, and Samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna, as described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The original mellow, Adi Ras, is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. Om Agya. So, in this particular narration, the situation has occurred that the Brahmana Tvasta has invoked a very powerful demon named Vritasura for the purpose of killing Indra. The demon is enormous. He emerged from the sacrificial fire. His appearance is blackish. His hair is copper red. His eyes are fierce. His mouth is enormous. And he is raising up, way up into the sky. So he is very powerful and threatening. So much so that even the demigods were becoming overwhelmed by fear. In that condition, the demigods are now praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, in the first line of the purport, points out that the demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety. So, it is clear that the demigods are devotees of the Supreme Lord. It is, however, also the case that the demigods, although they are extraordinarily pious and in adhering to the regulative principles of the scripture, although the demigods, it is stated, are predominated by the mode of goodness, unlike our planetary system, which is predominated by the mode of passion. The difference between the mode of goodness is that within the mode of goodness, one is naturally inclined to take shelter of the regulative principles as illuminated in the revealed scriptures. Whereas in the mode of passion, one is naturally inclined to follow the senses and the mind, and one is reluctantly accepting the injunctions of the scriptures. So the demigods are by nature extraordinarily pious, and their inclination is certainly to act for purification. Nonetheless, they are harboring material desires. And therefore, their mode of worship is not entirely unmotivated. One cannot say that it is adhering to the recommended definition in Srimad Bhagavatam of pure devotional service, Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktiya Dokshaje Ahaitiki Apatiyata Yatma Supersedati. This level of pure devotional service, which is free from any personal motivation, which is free from any interruption, that can only satisfy the self completely. Therefore, we can immediately understand the predicament of the devas or of the demigods. We can understand that, A, they are approaching the Lord with material desire, and B, in that condition, their devotional service has become mixed with fruitive desire, and the result is that they cannot be completely satisfied. It is clear in this particular verse, when they are referring to the Supreme Lord as Hansya Dara Nilayaya, they are speaking about the Supreme Lord whose abode is within the core of the heart, Niriksakaya, supervising the activities of the individual soul. So in particular, they are speaking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the Super Soul, who is aware of the desires in the heart of every living being. The Supreme Lord is known as the supervisor, as Upadrista, and he's also known as Anumanta, the one who is giving Anumiti, permission. So in this way, the Supreme Lord is seeing whatever lives within the heart of the living being in terms of desires, and the Supreme Lord may sanction or not. So the demigods are pointing out, furthermore, that it is understood that you are easily accessible to the pure and to the truthful. So purity means adhering to the injunctions as revealed by the Supreme Lord in the scriptures. So therefore the demigods are pointing out we are actually in that category, yeah, in a sense, they're implying. And therefore they are asking for benedictions, that their material situation may be rectified. The demigods continue, this is understood, or they begin to glorify the Supreme Lord. It is said that here they are approaching directly Lord Krishna. And it said, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning. For you are the beginning of everything. So now they are establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, of course, of great significance for Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Because it is our primary mission to establish that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are systematically collecting the evidence to establish that the Supreme Lord is Lord Sri Krishna, the cause of all causes, the primeval Lord. This particular narration in Srimad Bhagavatam is further evidence, and we can take note of that. We can take note that within this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the narration where Vritasura is in the appearance of the demon Vritasura, when the demigods offer prayers to the Supreme Lord, they are establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and the cause of all causes, one who has no beginning. In other words, one who is not dependent, just as it begins in Srimad Bhagavatam, janmadiyasyatumviyat itaratascharte svabhikyasvarat. It said that everything, janmadiyasya, everything has a cause, and that the cause of all those causes is the Supreme Lord, but that he himself is swarat, that he is independent, he has no other cause. He has no cause. Simply, he is the cause of all these other causes, and he himself has no cause other than himself. So the same point is once again reiterated here by the demigods, which is clearly once again can be presented as proof of the supremacy of Lord Krishna. So in that sense, it is important to us. Then it is explained that pure devotees, our definition of pure devotee might be more sharp than the definition that the demigods are referring to. It may be a little vague whether the demigods are really referring to a pure devotee who is anyabilasita sunyam, who is free from any other desire, who is free from any trace of karma and jnana. It is doubtful, because otherwise they would become fully dependent on the Supreme Lord. And as the narration of the confrontation between the demigods headed up by Indra and Vritasura unfolds further, we are seeing that it becomes more and more apparent that Indra is displaying material desire, that Indra is in the mood of wanting to eliminate this demon Vritasura for the sake of having a peaceful situation in the celestial planets, and simultaneously that Vritasura actually, in his previous life, Chitraketu, being unjustly cursed by Parvati and taking it as a devotee, and therefore getting the result of the curse by getting the body of Vritasura, but simultaneously maintaining his pure consciousness as a devotee within that demon body. And therefore, Vritasura displays the consciousness of being anyabilasita sunyam, of being free from any other desire. Because Vritasura is not at all by any means impressed by impending death. And he explains that to Indra that Indra can kill him, and it was possible. Because although Tvasta tried to create a demon that could kill Indra, he made a mistake in chanting the Sanskrit mantras, in a mistake in one syllable. Of course, that was in a previous yuga. In this yuga, we see that that is not given so much importance. But in the previous yuga, just by chanting one syllable wrong, the effect of his mantras changed. And instead of creating a demon that had the potency to kill Indra, he created a demon that would be killed by Indra. And as a result, Vritasura, it was possible for Indra to kill him, in particularly with his Vajra weapon, with his thunderbolt weapon, which Indra himself had no confidence in front of such a powerful devouring demon. And at one point Vritasura is telling him, no, please go ahead, try to use your weapon upon me, please go ahead, try it, don't be afraid, it will work. And finally Indra then collected the courage, and threw the weapon, and it worked. Still, he wasn't sure that the demon was really dead, and it took him 365 days to cut the head of Vritasura with that thunderbolt. So he was definitely made of tough material, one could say. But the amazing thing in this narration is the contrast between the consciousness of Vritasura and the consciousness of Indra. The extraordinary piety of Indra, first of all, must be recognized. The spirit of bhakti that is clearly there within Indra, his sincere devotion, and the sincere devotion of the demigods is recognized. Now, there's no doubt about it. They are devotees. They are dedicating their life to the scriptures. They are not inclined to act sinful. It may occur occasionally, exceptionally, but it is by no means condoned by them, by no means condoned in their society, and they are devotees of high caliber. One has to understand that they are very pious, high caliber devotees. And being in the association of such devotees, we might be greatly uplifted. Still, Srimad Bhagavatam is not particularly interested in this kind of bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam is not particularly interested in this kind of punya or in this kind of piety that can offer us any kind of material benefit. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse, this is strongly condemned. This is dharma projita kaitavo. It is said it is cheating religion. It is cheating religion. And Bhagavatam also mentions the gora rupam of the demigods, mentions the ghastly forms of the demigods. So, this is bewildering, the ghastly forms of the demigods. Alright, maybe Kali. The demigoddess Kali with the tongue is a ghastly appearance that we can sort of, with skulls and all that as garland, that is kind of, we can accept that as ghastly. But the other devatas as ghastly? The ghastly aspect is not directly in the immediate features of the devas, but it is in their appearance as mixed devotees, because it is ghastly to go for temporary benefits. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna strongly condemns kamaisteste ritagyana prapadyantenya devata, and he's pointing out that this worship of the demigods, or this mentality of trying to obtain temporary benefits in this world, is practiced by those whose intelligence has been stolen by illusion. They are under the influence of illusion. And they are under the influence of the illusory energy. The illusory energy is depicted in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as the universal form. And there Arjuna is witnessing how the different heroes on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are being crunched up by the teeth of that universal form, as if something like potato chips, crunch, crunch, right? Crunchies. Quite intense, ghastly is a soft word when we go to that extent. But everyone is being crunched by the wheels of time. Time is the all-destructive factor. Kalusmi lokaksaya krit. Time, I am the destroyer of worlds. And we are experiencing how time is destroying, sometimes in a dramatic way and sometimes in a very gradual, almost invisible but certain way, right? Grinding way. So what can we say? Certainly, the worship of the demigods has a ghastly element, because it is an element which is relating to the ghastly material nature. Srila Prabhupada pointed out to his disciples that the problem is that you do not have sufficient fear of Maya. This is a major problem. This fear of Maya is referring to, we are not sufficiently recognizing the ghastly feature of the material nature. Rather, we become bewildered by the illusory forms. Rasa, Rupa, Gandha, Sparsa, and Sabda, the five sense objects of taste, form, smell, sound, touch, these all are bewildering us as apparently attractive. And the mind says, it's not that bad, it's bad, but then it, of course, over a whole, the material life is bad. Over a whole, there is no doubt about it. Material life is not what it's all about. And over a whole, certainly, liberation is the goal of life. But some of the details are not that bad, actually. I mean, there are good things, see? Some things are not bad at all. And in this way, it is very interesting how one can have compartments in his head. One compartment is striving for liberation and is the pure bhakti department, and the other department is that, yes, but at the same time, let me enjoy a little. And these two can exist simultaneously in the same person without causing any major contradiction, without causing a dilemma. It's all right. Because we have a conception of ourselves that, well, we are devotees, after all. That's us. We are devotees. Just like this 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where in the first row of verses, the divine nature is described, and then somewhere after the seventh verse, it begins to describe the nature of the demons. So the first seven verses, that's us, and the rest, that's the neighbors. That's someone else. That's not us. We have an ability to look at ourselves as devotees. Therefore, when we are discussing the demigods or the devas and their mixed devotion, then the tendency is there to think, look at them. Look at how they are having material desires. How foolish, right? How foolish. Somehow or other, of course, they are very qualified, but just see, we got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and therefore we know better. That tendency may be there. But rather, that would not be the wise approach. The wise approach would be to look in our own heart and to recognize that we probably are karma misra bhaktas. That we all this time have been selective in our devotional service. Not this kind of devotional service, but I'd rather have that kind of devotional service. Right? As if it's as if there's a menu card, and we look like, I won't take this service, I won't take that service. I'll take the service that I like. So that's not service. That's not service. Then there is a fruitive personal business element in there. An element for trying to gain from the situation. Then we are still contaminated with this tendency for karma, this tendency to enjoy. It is very, very deep. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing how in the world there are different types of religions being practiced. And one, the lowest kind, he described as Shakta, right? As the tendency to pacify the ghastly feature of material nature. After a tsunami, or after an earthquake, or even preventative worship to avoid calamity and disaster type of worship. And please don't let it happen again. So at one level higher is the type of worship of the positive energy. Those are the Surya. The Surya worship. Worshipping the positive energy. Still higher, the Ganapatyas. The type of worship where one is looking for material obstacles to be removed and for a favorable material condition from his worship. Are we free from that? No. Are we free from that? No. So, if we are not free from that, then we must be very careful not to cultivate that tendency any further. It is one thing to have material desire, and it is another thing to try and satisfy material desire. Just like in Bhagavad Gita 2:70, apuryamanam achala pratistam, apasamuda pravisanti yatvat tatvat kamaya pravisanti sarve sasanti abnuti nakama kami. Or the other way, nakama kami sasanti abnuti. That's how. The verse is describing how the consciousness, the mind, is compared to the ocean. And the desires are compared to rivers that are flowing into that ocean. It said the ocean is not affected by the desires, although they are there. They are there. In other words, the desires are present within the consciousness. But the ocean is not affected by all these rivers, even in the rainy season when so much extra water goes into the ocean, because of its fullness, Srila Prabhupada describes. Because of its fullness. So in the same way, when we are full in our Krishna consciousness, totally, all time, absorbed in serving and ignoring those material desires, then we will be able to conquer those material desires. It is explained. But if one somehow or other is trying to fulfill material desires, then we are increasing our material entanglements and we'll become covered over by the material energy and we will not be able to perceive Krishna. Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. We become covered. That is the nature of lust, of satisfying lust. It is covering our consciousness, avritta. Therefore, that's another lesson to take from this particular verse. That we look at ourselves, that we hold up the verse to ourselves like a mirror, and that we look at ourselves. And am I actually giving up my material desires, or am I still, in a subtle way, trying to satisfy my material desires? It's an important principle. Ultimately, renunciation is not the means by which we can conquer material desire. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 64 angas described of bhakti, or 64 limbs of bhakti are described. So it said if one practices any of these 64, one can very quickly attain success in spiritual life and become free from all material desires and obtain pure love of God, perfection in spiritual life. And it is said that jnana, or knowledge, renunciation, austerity, that these are not angas of bhakti. These are not limbs of bhakti. So none of these can give bhakti. So by being renounced, one cannot get bhakti. One may be so renounced, but ultimately renouncing material desires will never give us love for Krishna. It is not possible. The only advantage of renunciation is that it will free our mind from preoccupation with material desire to some extent, to a gross extent, and it will free us from all kinds of entanglement and give us more time for devotional service. But it is devotional service itself, it is bhakti itself, that is the only thing that can free us from material desires. Bhakti parasana bhava virakti anyata tresa trika ekakala prapada manasi yata syata syus tushti pushti ksut apayanugasam. Compared to, it is based on satisfaction, based on taste. Srila Prabhupada is pointing that out in the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, that everything is based on taste. And that as the taste is increasing in spiritual life, as we are being purified in devotional service and our attachment to serving Krishna is increasing day by day, we naturally lose the attraction for lower material activities and we become fixed in pure devotional service by higher taste, by natural, by great happiness and by being very enlivened and natural enthusiasm. This is the only way. Then we can be successful in our own spiritual life, and then we can be also successful as a community. Because as a community, we're also dependent on love. It said, prema pumarta mahan, the goal of spiritual life is love, Krishna prema. It's not only love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, if you love the body, then you automatically love the finger. He said in the same way, if you love Krishna, then you will automatically love his creation. Therefore, love for Krishna also extends to love for all living beings. And this is a very wonderful feature, a wonderful feature that we see in Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna, without a doubt, is way beyond the topmost of what we can imagine. The topmost devotion that we can imagine may reach to a level way beyond of what we practice. Way beyond of what we can imagine. And then somewhere way beyond that is the pure devotion, the pure love that Srila Prabhupada displayed for Krishna.
Vaishnavera kriya vidyana bujaya.
One cannot understand. But at the same time, we see that his love for Krishna is not just there, something so high and so inconceivable that it's too high. No, it also comes down to the ground in loving dealings. In such loving dealings that he conquered the hearts of so many people. Such love is the result from devotional service. And it is only such love that can spread the Sankirtan movement. If one doesn't have love, one cannot give it either. And if one doesn't give it, one can give a process, but if that process is given without actual love and without actual taste, then it becomes reduced to rules and regulations. And then we become a movement that tries to legislate Krishna consciousness. When Krishna consciousness is legislated, it can never take over the world. There's no question. It must actually manifest within our hearts. And therefore, it must manifest as a result of not thinking about ourselves, being completely busy in serving Krishna all the time, serving Krishna. That is the essence. And appreciating how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful it is to serve Krishna. That is the principle of Ras, and that's the end of the purport. At that stage, one becomes akinchana, free from material desire, and one can become a resident of the spiritual world, always absorbed in one of five rasas, which one can begin to taste here in this material world. And one can become a liberated soul, jivan mukta sa uchate, a liberated soul who is already in the spiritual world, even when he's here on this planet. Just like Srila Prabhupada. We cannot glorify Srila Prabhupada for being glorious, for going back to Godhead. How can we glorify him for going back to Godhead? He was always there. There was a question that he was ever not there. Jivan mukta sa uchate. Always completely with Krishna at every point in time. And that is the true perfection of life. I'll stop now. Any questions, any comments?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful lecture. Maharaj, in the later part, you mentioned about giving Krishna consciousness with love and not as a legislation. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Of course, in one sense, it's a contradiction because we don't have much love in our conditioned state. But there is no doubt that Krishna Prema is not made of another nature. It is not of another nature than the loving tendency that we have in this world. It is purified. It is sublimated. It is free from lust. Here in the material world, our loving propensity is always mixed with some lust. Pure Krishna Prema is free from any type of influence of lust, of atmindriya, of self, of the desire to satisfy our own senses. It is only Krishnendriya, for the sense, pleasing the senses of Krishna. still, one cannot expect to get that that love for Krishna if we are not trying to be gentle, kind and loving towards all of Krishna's creation, towards all living beings and towards Krishna's creation. If we are Gestapos with boots, yeah, and simultaneously following the process of bhakti, we may find that there's an anatta which will hold us up. Yeah. So this movement is resting on voluntary surrender. You cannot legislate surrender. Yeah. You cannot legislate anyone to voluntarily join this movement. So there must be a reason why people would really do it. There may be various reasons. One reason may be they've suffered like a dog in the material world and they want relief. So they come. But then, if there is no love in the Vaishnava community, then after some time, they may leave. So it's very important that we develop genuine loving relationships. Just not something ethereal, something like mental, sentimental love, but more something practical. Practical. Yeah. It has to translate into kindness. It has to translate into being considerate, into being concerned, into being sensitive, into being able to place ourselves in the position of others. It is stated that one should treat others in such a way as he would like to be treated himself. So we should think ourselves in the position of others. Then we can maybe understand how to be careful, because with ourselves we are very careful. But with someone else, maybe not. So, not easy. Not easy for one who does not have real love in the heart. The material energy is affecting us. We get under the motes. I've just been at the tooth at a dentist, right? So if you say a wrong thing to me, I might just lash out, because of grumpiness, because of being under the influence of the modes of material nature. We constantly get under the influence of the mode of material nature and take it out on others. We may still have envious tendencies. There's that story, simple story, of a person who was envious. So one day, a spirit appeared before him, some sort of wish-fulfilling spirit, yes, master, how can I serve you type. And he said, well, I would like to be a most special person. I would like to have a lot of wealth. Very well, very well. He said, it can be done. You can get whatever you desire, but your neighbor will get twice as much as you do. He said, ah, that's okay. All right, I'll take it. No problem. I'll take that. His neighbor, he was blessed with a great mansion. His neighbor with a mansion doubled the size. After some time, it got to him. So he called for the spirit and asked for a mansion even greater. A mansion greater than his neighbor's. And he immediately had a mansion greater than his neighbor. But then his neighbor had a mansion greater than him. It was eating his heart out, and he thought about it for a long time. Then one day, he called that spirit again. Spirit appeared. He said to the spirit,
I wish that you take one of my eyes. From that day on, he was very happy. So, it's an ugly story. But some ugliness may be there in us. We have to try, even if these things are there, we have to try to conquer these tendencies. So there is definitely an element where we have to make a conscious endeavor to be loving in our dealings, to control envious tendencies, to be kind, and at the same time, we just, with great enthusiasm, look for the purification of devotional service, which can bring about the ultimate change in the heart. In other words, we temporarily situate ourselves in the mode of goodness, by acting according to prescribed duty, although inside it's not completely pure, and then practice devotional service on that platform, so that we come to the pure transcendental platform of Visuddhisattva, and where we are free from all this contamination. Anyway, once again, our movement is based on inspiration. It cannot be based on legislation. There's no doubt about it. I think you were first.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were speaking in the beginning itself about that our Gaudiya Sampradaya is only based on pure devotional service.
Our
Gaudiya Sampradaya,
Gaudiya Sampradaya
is based only on a pure devotional service.
Yes.
Anything we do it, the aim is to see to it that we attain the pure devotional platform. Now, being in the household life, we have to go on checking ourselves that we are practicing the pure devotional platform. Because regularly there is a distraction, there is a motive. For example, if I go out for a business, I want to earn money. Correct? But sometimes that money is not going to be used for Krishna's service. It is going to be used for some other purpose also. Second thing is, even I have to see about my house, my property, all those things. And many of the times it is not on a pure devotional platform. So sometimes we have to check ourselves. Although we are calling ourselves as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, but we are not following the pure devotional platform.
These householders. Yes. Why are you picking on the householders? You think that sannyasis cannot get fruitive? You can get lots of donations very easy. And just one smile can do wonders. Right? You know, one little smile to the right person at the right time can pay a plane ticket. Yeah? And, you know, and it adds up in the bank, you know. And if you carry on, and if you're just in front of those people, sort of say, oh, my back, you might even get business class. In other words, you know, and we can initiate more disciples. Oh, yes, we can. And lots of them, right? The more the better. And the dakshin is rolling in. Right? And we can make some fixed deposits. And the interest is increasing like day by day. It's going well. Right? We can even run a number two account in Switzerland. Right? What we cannot do. So, it's not that that one ashram is any easier than any other ashram. In any ashram, it's a great challenge to go for pure devotional service. It is difficult in the sannyasa ashram, difficult in the brahmachari ashram, vanaprastha ashram, if it exists. And it is difficult in the brahmachari ashram. It's difficult in all of them to practice pure devotional service. Because in all of them, there is that opportunity to drink water underwater on the fast day. Remember the boy that went into the Yamuna on the Nirjal and fast and drank water underwater? So one can always drink water under water. That's always possible. And one may always fall prey to these tendencies of being a pretender. So one has to, at all times, be very careful and conscious and dutiful and ask himself at all time, one should think, my spiritual master is looking over my shoulder at every moment. He's always looking, every moment. So he's watching everything I do. Am I really offering everything to him? Like that, we have to try in every ashram to be a pure devotee. So what's wrong being a householder? Just use it. Use it all for the service of Krishna. Even sex life, kamasmi bharatar sabha. Dharma viruddha bhutisu kamasmi bharatar sabha. According to religious principles, not in any other way. And everything. Be charitable and so on. Serve the other ashrams. In other words, there is no impediment. There is no bar. I said, renunciation is not an anga of bhakti. Renunciation is only a temporary... It gives some benefit in the beginning, it says. Jiva Goswami explains. He said in the beginning it's a little helpful. But it's not a major thing. And we see all the associates of Mahaprabhu are very surrendered. Srivas Thakur said, one day Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, you are all day long doing puja. At night you are worshipping the Lord in the house. You are maintaining all these servants and a whole family. And I never see you work. Srivas said, my Lord, I will never work. Srivas said, my Lord, I will only worship you. He said, and if you don't maintain us, then we will fast. And at the second day, still nothing to eat, we will fast. And on the third day, if there's nothing to eat, we will all fast. And on the fourth day, if there's nothing to eat, then I will take my whole family and we all together will jump in the Ganga. No, Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, you don't have to work. You will always have everything you need. So, I'm not saying that grihasthas should not work, but I'm saying is that Srivas put his faith in serving the Lord, purely. So whether we work or not work, grihasthas have to work with mundane people, and sannyasis fly on mundane planes with mundane stewardesses putting beef or chicken under their nose. And rubbish movies and so many other nonsense opportunities to distract the mind and to become captured by Maya. It is a challenge, a big challenge, a big fight against Maya. Same fight for everyone. So we cannot use it as an excuse. Oh, I'm only a grihastha, so I'm not expected. It's not so much expected from me. No, it's expected from the grihastha also to be a pure devotee. Equally expected. If we think, oh, it's not expected because I'm a grihastha, then you're in Maya, you're a fool because you're not using this lifetime to go back to Godhead. So grihastha must also be pure devotee. One more point. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it said a Vaishnava in the intermediate stage, he should chant all the time. All the time. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, this is a little difficult to practice for the grihasthas. Therefore, they should only chant in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Only. In other words, Prabhupada wanted the grihasthas to also make a great endeavor. A great endeavor to be pure devotees. And there's no but. So whatever you say, you cannot say but.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I wanted to ask a very practical question. Is that in a grahastha life, we have to plan ourselves. And we used to save some Lakshmi so that in due course of time, we can have a very nice retired vanprastha life.
Mm.
Now, in that circumstances, most of the time, we are not thinking about pure devotional service, but we are thinking about our bodily comforts.
Then change it today. See? This is a rascal, because if you know what you're doing, if you know it's not pure, then don't do it. You see? But life is, it's not so simple. We need some material facility. And we have, it is said, Sreya Acharanam Sada. We have to work for the long-term benefit. And you may, in the name of pride and of pure devotional service, give up all material facility, and then as a result you will be always disturbed, right? Because you just don't have what you need for your old back, right? And all the other old bodily parts, and your mind will be disturbed and you'll never think of Krishna. Better you have a comfortable little place where everything is nice and think the whole day of Krishna, than that you go for all this austerity and all this renunciation. Because austerity and renunciation is not a limp of bhakti. It is service to Krishna. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The ninefold process. Hearing, chanting, remembering. That's what we want. So, if you want a comfortable flat, have a comfortable flat, but use it day and night for remembering Krishna. Don't worry so much about trying to be the most renounced. We don't have much capacity to be very renounced. It's in this age of Kali. Prabhupada says somewhere in a purport of the Bhagavatam, those men in this age of Kali who put on the dress of sannyasis, and who dress up like sannyasis, it's very difficult to be really renounced. So let's leave it at that. We can, of course, go on till 10 o'clock, but I think 9:30, we started maybe a little late, but I think it's late enough. I don't want to keep everyone from service. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.